This is Things Police See, first-hand accounts, with your host, Steve Gold.
Welcome to the podcast that interviews active and retired police officers about their most intense, bizarre, and sometimes humorous moments on the job. I am Steve Gould, but this is Cops in the News. The date is February 19th, 2023. I'm joined by my good friend, Ken Roybal of the Police Applicant Podcast and policebackground.net. Ken, hello.
Hi there. Hey, everybody. And hey to Miranda from Instagram, My Heart Shiny. And my friend Diane has been on here, too. But yeah, good to be back with you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. We used to, for those of you who don't know, this will also be a podcast, but we're doing the live stream thing again. We started it, and I think during the pandemic, pretty much, we used to come on live. We were doing it weekly. I think a lot of people were home. A lot of people were looking for something to do. So we kind of had a really fun time at it, and we actually started to get a lot of interaction and listeners. So why not bring it back, Ken Roybal?
Yeah, and then we had to stop because we had to stop, and then we decided to sneak on back every once in a while. So here we are.
Yeah, I think we kind of had to, you know. Come on,
we got a comment on our beards, man.
I know. Yeah, the graphic doesn't fit anymore. For those of you listening, we have a countdown timer graphic that has a mustache and like a relief pitcher goatee. And Ken is fully bearded now, salt and pepper.
I decided to try a winter beard. My wife, Jenny, did not approve. But I was, I'm my own man. And I begged and cried on the floor in the corner for 2 days. And she said, okay, so.
I can attest to that because I talked to you a couple weeks ago and I heard that she didn't approve. Yet you're still wearing it.
I'm still wearing it. Just look at me.
Ken, how are things going at the Police Applicant Podcast? It looks like you're gathering quite the listenership.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we really got a boost in listeners with the podcast, and we're closing in on 110,000 downloads. It's not Things Police See, but for us,
it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's a very small type of audience, but 110,000 coming up on that. And then we're up to episode, I want to say we're in the 50s now. So we're in our third season, and the podcast is just exploding. People are just finding us, and it's really cool. I'm very excited about the future episodes and everything.
No, what I like about it the most is it's paying dividends for me now because I have people who come to my podcast and go, Ken talked about Things Police See on his podcast. And I go, oh, this is all right.
I like this. I even got you a guest coming up here.
Yeah.
You know, we did that live. So
Eric, right?
Yeah. Eric Tung from Kent, Washington PD. He's the OIC of the recruitment and backgrounds unit. So, and he's got stories. He's got a story, Steve, that's insane.
I know. He briefly told me in the email, and I was like, yeah, you got to come on. Absolutely.
That was crazy, man. So I'm looking forward to seeing him on there too. But what's happening with you guys?
Just the same old, you know. I'm trying to keep this show regular. I'm getting good downloads now. The thing that's cool about the show is it's large enough now where it kind of like is feeding itself. People are like applying to be guests. Rarely do I have those just a well run dry and I have to be like just randomly reaching out. Got some good episodes coming up. Eric Tanzi from the Failure to Stop podcast came on. So that's the one coming up this Wednesday. So I don't know. I'm making a little change, a few shekels now, you know, not a lot, but if somehow I could make that 10 times more, it'd be pretty great. It'd be amazing.
I'm excited for you too. Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Couldn't wait.
I had that thing sitting there. I'm going, let me push the button. Couldn't
wait. Well, Ken, you only have an hour because you have obligations.
I have an event, to get to.
You have an event. So I'm going to dive right into it. I want to talk about Anthony Lowe Jr. You're familiar with this gentleman who was shot and killed.
Yeah, that was an interesting story.
when we were out here on the East Coast, The first few hours of stories that came out was LAPD shoots double amputee in his wheelchair. And I was like, man, LA just can't get a break. And then the next day it was like, oh, this is Huntington Beach that did it.
Huntington Park, wasn't it?
Oh, Huntington Park.
Yeah, it was Huntington
Park. One of the Huntingtons, yeah. And I was like, man, they just blame everything on LAPD. But the way this story is the perfect media formula for misreporting, because they throw those headlines out there, double amputee. And even myself, when I heard it, I was like, oof. How could they have had to have done this? The craziest thing must have happened for this to make that okay. And guess what, Ken? The craziest thing did happen, and that's why they did it. Guy, Anthony Lowe Jr., and of course, now they're talking about him. The family is, you know, oh, he was an angel, and he wasn't even going to hurt anybody. Why didn't they do something different? Well, what they're not talking to you about is, here, I can show you guys exactly what he did.
Show me.
I can't find the answer to this, but he lost his legs, and his sister says that the Texas police took his legs. Like,
they just took him.
I can't.
Those are ours.
I used DuckDuckGo. I used Google. I used the Apple search engine. I can't find any police-related story about Anthony Lowe Jr. Losing his legs to the Texas police. And the way she said it, it was like he entered Texas and the police are like, whoa, look at this black guy willy-nilly using his legs. No, that's not going to fly here. And they took his legs. Well, and then I read an article that there's no basis for it. Like, it probably didn't even happen. She's just saying things.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you just up and... Isn't that a constitutional rights violation? Just up and taking someone's legs? Isn't that a Fourth Amendment thing or something like that?
I think they can find something in there. Can't do that. You can just take a guy's legs. So she's... Hey, Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't have the thing to chat, so I want to say hi, Shauneen Edwards. She said hi. Hi, Shauneen. Go ahead.
Oh, there, there should be a little button on your side so you can see the comments that come in.
I can see the comments. I just can't answer back on this.
Gotcha. Well, she heard you now.
She heard me now.
Yeah. So his sister is saying the Texas police first took his legs, and then these cops just shot him in his wheelchair because he was depressed. But then if you go to this little video narrated by the Huntington Park police, right? Meow.
No. You will see Anthony Lowe off of his wheelchair, approach the victim.
Bam.
And stab him.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he could.
Stumbles into the traffic lane.
So this guy, Romero, he goes by when they interviewed him. He just was, I mean, literally innocent bystander. He crossed the street with his briefcase, and he's walking, and he says, Lowe jumps out of his wheelchair, and you hear amputee, this guy can walk. This guy can scuttle
run
on those stumps. I saw him.
Yeah.
So he can scuttle on them. He says to the guy, to Romero, the guy he stabbed, are you okay? And Romero stops and looks at him and he goes, "Then I thought he punched me." Mm-hmm. But it was a blade is deadly. It just came in and out, collapsed his lung, just missed his heart, critical condition. The guy almost dies. From this, and then someone calls 911. Now the police enter the scene looking for a guy in a wheelchair who got out of his wheelchair and ran over and stabbed him, right? So now the story has a whole different look on it. And then they released the videos and everything else. And this is him when they caught up with him. So he's, before this, he's kind of this running away on his stumps, and then he turns around and kind of like he's going to throw the blade a bunch of times. He's kind of just like mock throwing it at the cops. Mm-hmm. They try to tase him a couple times. It doesn't work. Now you have a guy that's almost murdered somebody. He's on the loose. He's uncooperative. The use of force you tried didn't work. And he's mobile. So it's a good shooting all day long, right, Ken?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This guy, I saw the interview with the guy he stabbed, and he said the guy came and stabbed me in my armpit. And it's like, oh, that's a very sensitive area. But this guy, he's crazy. And then, you know, folks want to go, oh, you know what? You can't be shooting people who are hopping around or whatever they say. But this guy was fast. He was fast, and he's so fast that the video shows that when the victim was walking away from him, he saw him. He just kind of walks away from it, and the guy jumped off his wheelbarrow and bam! Yeah. It was not like, hey, stop a minute so I can catch up to you. It wasn't like that. The guy was boom fast.
He was like a leopard at the watering hole. Bam!
Yeah. And so when you see the cop standing there, and he's got the knife raised. It's just a matter if he hasn't had his legs for a long time and he's really used to being mobile, he can move fast. So what are you supposed to do? Like he's not very tall. He's only half the person he should be, whatever. He can go there and cut a femoral artery on the leg or something like that. Nah, man, you can't do that. You
don't earn the right. You don't have the right to put the public in that kind of danger. And that's why the police are there. Like, what if he stumps over around the corner that was coming up and slits a school kid's throat? Yeah. Now, do you think the police are on the hook for that? Yeah. Yeah. Why didn't you do something sooner?
Yeah. So I just think that, you know, the thing is about it, when you have the sister come out and then, but there's nobody marching for him.
No,
there's no protests. And, I think it hit the news, made a blip a couple days, and it's gone. You haven't heard about it since. So, yeah, good shooting.
Yeah, yeah. I think they have the family made a statement with their attorney where they just kind of drone on and on about how it's unfair and they want justice and his poor son. But the bottom line is the other thing that's bizarre is you can't find the guy's criminal history. Like, I tried and tried to see what this guy's history is like. Mm-hmm. Won't come up at all. So I think in this case, it seems like, I'm just guessing, his family probably feels a ton of guilt for the way he turned out, the person he was, his mom, his ex-wife. None of them probably didn't do anything to help him. He probably had a terrible upbringing, very hard. And now they created this real problem and they feel terrible about it. So what do? You don't own it. You put it on the whipping boy, which is the police department, right?
Yeah.
That's your payout. That's your big payout.
And Dirk made a comment. He says, Mike Moore's jurisdiction. Aha, Steve touched on this. It's not Mike Moore's jurisdiction because Mike Moore is the chief of LAPD. So it was in Huntington Park, which is a suburb of Los Angeles, but not, it's its own city. So it's they're their own people. But it's like you said before, it happened in the United States, LAPD.
Well, when we worked backgrounds, you guys would tell war stories about the area. And Pat, our buddy Pat, would always say, the nice thing about LAPD is it's so huge and there's so many things happening that if you screw up at your police department, you only had to wait a day and then LA would take over the news cycle.
That's right. So, I mean, okay, fine, whatever. But, I'm Eagle Rock. Eagle Rock is the Northeast Division. Dirk is in LAPD's jurisdiction. Eagle Rock. That's Northeast Division. Yeah.
Yeah, Eagle Rock is actually nice now. We were there a few times when we lived in Los Feliz. And
Yes,
Eagle Rock. Los Feliz. I was told by an Uber driver when we were in Los Feliz that this was not always so nice. He said, I got on a school bus once right on this road in like North New Hampshire. He's like, and a gang member got on and pointed a shotgun at the bus driver's head.
It's like that's LA. It's not getting any better since the time. And isn't that the kind of Tony Park part of town where you got your truck stolen and your Prius broken into?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Nonviolent crime though doesn't count.
Nonviolent crime does not count.
Poor LAPD, man. They just don't have time for anything. They got to triage their calls out like crazy. All right, let's see. What do we got next, Ken? You don't have a lot of time. I don't want to waste it. Next up, I want to switch gears here for a second and ask you, were you aware that the Oxford Dictionary of English has removed the word sin from its pages.
And I didn't know that till you mentioned it, man.
Yeah, their excuse is the word has just fallen into disuse and the younger generation doesn't even know what it is, which I agree. But there is, like you and I talked about before we started the show, there is like 2.83 billion Christians, the largest religion in the world that knows exactly what it is and uses it all the time. Next, you have Muslims who also use that word. And like you said, Ken, there's also the best-selling book of all time that has sin in it quite a bit. So
I think sin's in the Bible.
Yeah. What's the angle here?
Because they're trying, because you erase God by erasing words and doing everything you can to fight against the person of God. And then that way you end up having a segment of society that's godless. And what easier way to do it than to take out seemingly, small words like sin.
Yeah, start with a three-letter word.
Yeah, and so, but Oxford Dictionary, they've been going down the tubes for a long time. It's very woke, very woke. Can I say that on, can I say that?
Yeah, I think we're good. Yeah, we're going to get banned. I think I got to check Merriam-Webster. She's pretty base, isn't she? She's got everything in there.
I don't know.
I don't know either, but I think you're right. I think because to sin is to miss the mark. So now if there's not even a word in the Oxford Dictionary for that, it's kind of like there's no sin. Literally, there's no sin on the pages of that thing. So how do they refer to, interesting. I wonder if you go into like and look up like salvation or repentance or something. I wonder if sin is in the definition of another word. I didn't go that far.
Yeah. I don't know, but I do know that sin is another word for, you know, doing wrong, evil, things like that. Sin is very synonymous with all that stuff. So I don't know. What do you say when a criminal commits a crime? What do you call that? Bad stuff.
Bad stuff. Yeah.
Oh.
I talked to my pastor about, like, can we start using bad stuff? Because sin's not even actually a word anymore.
Sin's not a word. You shouldn't be using sin. You should be using another word. What's in, I don't know. You know what? Sometimes these types of things just baffle me.
Yeah, me too. We have Shwaney Edwards. Hey, Ken. Is that, did I say that right?
I don't see the.
Oh, let me. Eric Reynolds. What's up, guys? Eric, past guest. Hello, Eric. Thanks for joining us.
Shaunine's my friend. Shaunine and her husband, we met them on a cruise in like 2007, I think.
You guys make friends everywhere, don't you?
All over the world. Everybody and loves. We visited them in Las Vegas and went to the lunch buffet and all that. So it was fun.
Very cool. Everybody loves Ken and Jen. Come on.
Stop it.
What kind of person are you if you don't? this story kind of just leads into the next one. What do you think about this picture? What do you think about that guy? That's Sam Smith at the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
For the podcast listener, I don't know if you heard about it, but he's dressed as Satan. He's got like a red leather dog collar on. He's licking his lips. By the way, I don't get it with this guy. He looks like the bartender at a bowling alley, but he's a sex symbol. He's fat. He's kind of frumpy. He's fat. He's surrounded by people worshiping him. He's got a top hat with horns coming out of it. Clearly, he's the devil in this picture. It's weird. It's like there's weird. This weird obsession with pagan stuff, with the devil. Here's Rihanna at the Super Bowl giving the Illuminati triangle. She did that she held it up there for quite a while. Ken, I have to ask you, do you believe in that stuff? Do you believe in the Illuminati and this underground happenings of devil worshipers and evil doers?
Yeah, like high powered people and all that, secret societies and things. It's hard to say because most of it's been in these Dan Brown books,
right?
And things like that. What's the Dan Brown book that they made the movie out of with Tom Hanks?
Oh yeah, super popular and famous, and we should definitely know.
Somebody about put Egypt that up on the
and
screen.
Artifacts and.
And so these books where they talk about the Illuminati and the secret society of all the wealthy people and things like that, I'm not sure what I would think about that because it's been so fictionalized.
Yeah. It's hard to know what is even true when it comes to the world. Cause there's how much reporting do you watch? How many things have the government told you? And then it's not true. So it's like, you can't even source anything. You can't really find out what's true. So we only have like all this information floating around. You do have these devil worshipers. You have these people who are like at least having a good time kind of putting this stuff out there. And it has, you kind of have to wonder, because Christians now, we've become the renegades. If you have if you have conservative Christian values, you are now the rebel. You are rebellious. You are the one pushing against the narrative, right? Mm-hmm. If you're with your classic Christian views. So maybe this is they're going even harder the other way with their rejection of that. And how do you do? I mean, and it'd be a perfect scheme of the devil. Then they're just even if it's unbeknownst to them, they're actually worshiping the devil, to try to push us off.
Well, there was an article, I think 2 weeks ago, where the DOJ had put a memo out targeting radicalized, Catholics. They had this big news story about it. And then all of a sudden the DOJ took the memo down. It was on their website or something, and they took it down. They backtracked, but it was on there. It was on there about radicalized Catholics. And I'm thinking, what does all this mean? Because now what they're doing is talking about law enforcement aspect of it with regard to people of faith. They are weaponizing the federal DOJ, the Department of Justice, against people. So they're using law enforcement to go after people who are right wing extremists, but they're usually like you are. You're a right wing extremist, yeah, because
all the way
you go to church and then you do that praying thing, and then you're indoctrinating your children. And right. So Steve, you're on some list somewhere. But the whole thing is to use law enforcement for that. That's terrible. But this Sam Smith thing, that was straight up demonic. There's no hiding it. Right. And then the people that got up at the end of the performance, and they were standing ovation. It's the song of the year, I think, or something like that. And I'm like, wow, to normalize that type of evil type of thing. It's pretty sad.
Yeah, the optics of it is hard to get away from when you, like you said, when you actually watch the end of it and there's a crowd cheering, they're worshiping, that they're cheering to this disgusting, perverse singer singing these disgusting, perverse words, and they're cheering it on. They're cheering on this image of Satan. So it really is disturbing. I'm on the fence. I mean, I think back in 2020, I went on a rant about this when we were talking, but at the time, and I think I showed screenshots of it, you could go to like the United Nations website, and they had a meditation room. It's like all black onyx with crystals in it where you could go and meditate. And then it was like donated by the Lucif Trust. So you're like, what is Lucif Trust? That sounds a lot like Lucifer. There's a link. You click on it. And it says the Lucif Trust was formed originally in like the 40s by Lucifer Publications, who was started by one of Aleister Crowley's disciples. So now we're into literal Satanist. So literal Satanists donated this meditation room. And there was even a paragraph about how don't get it bent. These people are not evil. They just have a different idea of who Lucifer was. And Karen, my wife and I are reading this and we're like, are the conspiracies true? Because this is like in your face. It's right there. They're like, yeah, Lucifer, is he that bad? Like that's kind of the attitude of the article. And it was like, but like you said, it's hard to know what. But when I see things like that in your face, it's like, it makes me a little bit worried, you know?
Well, the song that they're singing is called Unholy. And it's an anti-God song. And so then to couple that with the performance and the costumes and the whole dynamic of it, I mean, there's a clear message out there. I mean, there's no joke about that. But so that's what's going on.
Yeah, well, Alex Gedlin has this to say about it. Can you see that there? If he really wanted to look insane, he would have dressed up like Fauci.
Fauci.
So true, brother. So true. So sad. Yeah. That guy Fauci, man, they have him contradicting himself over the decades so many times. They have, now they're playing videos of him talking about natural immunity. He's like, of course it's the best. Come on. I'm a scientist. Yeah. It's like, man. Yeah. He's been in the game too long. They can catch his contradictions. You know, he's been televised for too long. You know, this isn't the 20s when you could just get away with saying whatever you wanted in state to state.
Yeah. He needs to leave already. It's done. There's nothing for him to do.
It's bye-bye time.
So,
all right, Ken. So let's take a little stroll down to your old stomping grounds. And what I'm talking about is Kenan Anderson. Now, this happened a couple, 3 weeks ago now, maybe a month. I think it happened right before the low thing. He's driving in L.A., and the statement the chief made initially was, attempted carjacking, crashed into multiple vehicles, and then was still stopped by an LAPD motor cop on a motorcycle. Mm-hmm. Then flees from the police and wrestles with them. They tell him, we're going to tase you. Stop. He's being assaultive. They have green light all day long to tase him. He's not cooperating. He's doing the thing when he first comes out where he's going, why? No, guys, he's saying he's cooperating, but he's not. I'm not doing anything. I'm not. Why are you doing this? Why are you? He actually says at one moment, you're going to George Floyd me.
Don't George Floyd me.
So it's almost like he's like kind of like willing this to come true. So anyways, they subdue him. They tase him, whatever. They handcuff him. He ends up dying. He dies probably... not unlike George Floyd, from the stress of the event, from the drugs in his system, he ends up dying, right? From the taser. They don't shoot him. Mm-hmm. It's just a taser. Now, of course, the story comes out and you see him dressed in a tie and he's teaching high school kids and what a good guy he was. And what gets confusing to me, Ken, is like just the fact that he had like cocaine in his system and he's a school teacher is just okay. That's just fine. Mm-hmm. Like no one, obviously not a good teacher. Like, and cocaine leaves your system pretty quick. So if you have it in your system, he was probably very high on cocaine. He obviously was suffering probably from cocaine psychosis when you just kind of lose your mind. What do you think, Ken?
Well, I want to remark about what you said. He was a teacher. He was a beloved teacher. Because if you read the news articles, he was a beloved teacher. So the cocaine and the hit and run accident and trying to carjack or whatever, that's besides the point, Steve, because he's a beloved teacher. Beloved. And not only that, here's why it's super bad. It's because he's Patrice Cullors' cousin. And if anybody doesn't know who Patrice Cullors is, she's one of three founding members of BLM. So this really...
Who we all know are on the level.
They're on the level. And so somehow or another, that has something to do with it, of this. And obviously, the news stories say that LAPD murdered the guy. They murdered him.
Right. That's straight what they up. Said. Execution.
And you could tell, I mean, the motor officer that approached him, the guy's obviously got issues. There's drugs or whatever.
Right.
And the motor officer is like, okay. Come on. Okay, no, sit down there. We'll blah, blah. And he's obviously doing all this stuff until the officer is trying to calm him down, do whatever, until backup gets there. And then the guy decides to run in the street.
Right.
At that point, you know, you can't just let people run in the street or do whatever. And then because if they said, yeah, you know, we're not going to do anything. We're not going to get involved. We're not going to tase him. We're going to try and take him into custody. And some big semi-truck goes, boof. And just takes the guy out, then who's at fault?
Right.
So
yeah, you weren't controlling the scene. You weren't controlling the operator. Now he's dead.
Yeah. And I don't know if the autopsy's come out yet, but I'm fairly certain LAPD didn't just kill the guy. You know, right. I think that there's other extenuating factors that were at play with the cocaine in the system, whatever. But of course, they're going to spin it however they want.
Wouldn't it blow your mind if there was an article, like a headline that was just like, man gets himself killed by the LAPD.
Gets himself killed by the LAPD.
Right.
Well, but the interesting thing about that is even though he was BLM and, you know, Patrice Cullors comes out and does a news conference and these people are saying all this stuff and they're saying what a beloved teacher he is. And they just discount the whole scenario that you know, everything that happened. There were no riots, Steve, in LA. BLM is, does anybody even remember who they are? And so all those tie-ins and things like that, it's that ship has sailed. And they try to hype it up all they can and all this. And poof, it's like that balloon that got shut down.
Yes, the balloon. I have, if I was quicker on the draw, I would put it, oh, wait, hold on. There it is, Ken.
There it is. Bam. Just like the news story. Bam, balloon.
So, but despite that, all that truth you just said, LA is trying to solve this problem of people having guns at traffic stops and responding to accidents, aren't they?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Don't they have a plan? They're trying.
Yeah, they have a plan that the officers. Well, first off, they've already done away with the city of Los Angeles has done away with pretextual stops. And if you don't know what that is, it's where someone has a tail light out, or they, you know, an equipment violation, or some small, seemingly insignificant violation.
But you want to get in there. Laws. You want to stop them for something else.
Yeah. So it's a totally legal stop.
Yeah.
And your pretext is whatever, tail light out, your light on your license plate, whatever it is. But there's been a ton of serial killers caught and other bad guys caught from these stops. Well, no. And not in Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, you can't do that anymore because it's racist. You're obviously targeting only people of color for these traffic violations. And so that's done. So, and then they're also trying to make it that police officers should not respond to traffic accidents. This is stuff that's on the table, which is fine. Any the patrol
cops are probably like, LA, great, forget
nobody it. patrol guys don't want to do traffic reports. That's like writing a paper on physics, and nobody wants to do it. So yeah, these are the things that they've got going on there.
It's amazing they don't like. It's like they don't ever learn their lesson. You know what I mean? Like they've eroded LAPD so badly now. You were telling me that the numbers, like when we were in backgrounds together, if they had a class of 45, you would be like, Steve, this is not a full class. And this is like not a good sign. This is a bad sign. And I was like, 45, 50 seems normal to me. And you're like, no, it should be 60. What are their numbers now, Ken?
Well, LAPD is, first I got to say, LAPD is in a death spiral. Everybody pray that it will be, it will be painless. It will be a painless death. But the classes now are below 30, 20. They graduated a class with 22 recently. Wow. Just Friday, they graduated one with 24, I think.
Wow.
The recruitment and hiring is just in such a terrible place. And they're losing officers in the hundreds. When you and I, so first in 2018, there was a meeting with the chief of backgrounds.
Yeah,
we were in that meeting.
Yeah.
In 2018, we had a meeting, guys, and the chief of backgrounds said that LAPD wants to gear up for the 2028 Olympics.
Yes.
So 10 years from there. And they needed 12,000 police officers. We were at 10,000 at that time. 10,000 right. officers. Keep these numbers in mind. They wanted 12,000 for the Olympics in 2028. They were at 10,000 when they told us this and said, we got to hire 2,000 officers. Holy cow, that's going to take years.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, today, because of the way LAPD is being run, today they are at 9,200 officers. They were at 10,000 officers 3 years ago. I mean, I'm sorry, 4 years ago. And now they're at 92. They're on their way to 9,000 and continuing to fall. So in order to make up for attrition, they plan to lose 600 officers in this fiscal year up until June 2023. In order to keep up with just attrition,
I was going
to
say,
they should have 60 officers for the 13 classes they have per year. So they're graduating in the 20s, below 30, and they are woefully behind, and they're going to lose more people.
Let me ask you a question about LAPD, Ken. When, because I, as long as I can remember, they've been pushing against the tide. So when did it really start to be like this? Was it the Watts riots? Was it before that? Was it Rodney King? When did the city, because it seems like the city is like against the police, like the their own agency. When did that really happen? Because I mean, there is a LAPD is a prestigious agency. There, and a lot of people model themselves after them. They certain programs. They like the robbery homicide is like one of the most elite investigative groups in the world. They're very well respected in the police world. But when did their own city really start to? When did the switch flip?
So this is just my recollection of things. I started in backgrounds in 97. So even in 97, there was some wokey type stuff going on where they were doing diversity hiring and things like that. But it wasn't super bad, to where that's what their focus was. And so when you came into when did you start in backgrounds?
Maybe late 2017.
Okay. So when you came into backgrounds, there were about 4,000 applicants in the process for LAPD at any given time, 4,000.
Right.
And so we knew that we were smoking. They were loading us up with 20 cases at a time. We said, we can't do this many cases. They go, don't you can. And we were hiring people all the time. And then somewhere around, I want to say, let me see. So I go by the Chiefs. So somewhere around when Charlie Beck came on board, so 5, 10, maybe close, maybe three chief.
And he was chief ago. During the Dorner thing, right? When the LAPD cop went nuts.
I think so. So he came on board, and then he was really wishy washy, and things started going kind of south from there. Then about the time, no, it was after you and I left. So I left in December 2018. Somewhere around after that time, they really started doing some diversity recruiting. So now the focus is becoming diversity, equity, and inclusion type of thing.
Right.
And it started going downhill from there. So LAPD starts losing numbers. And then 2020 happens with George Floyd and all that. So now they're starting to lose cops. And besides that, they can't attract people to be cops. So now recruitment starts suffering somewhere around between 2018 and 2020. Recruitment starts to suffer. 2020 happens with George Floyd. Then it really goes downhill from there. Nobody wants to join, and people are quitting. So now police officers from LAPD, they were losing. LAPD would lose 500 officers in a year just because. I mean, that's just people would retire. Now there's this free fall of officers starting to leave LAPD. Nobody wants to join. So recruitment suffering, hiring suffering, and the numbers for the classes start going down. So what does LAPD do, Steve? LAPD says, yeah, we're really, you know, this is a dumpster fire. Recruitment is a dumpster fire. Let's do what we've always been doing. Let's do diversity hiring. So they put out in the 2021, I think it was, a recruitment poster for LAPD. I don't know if anybody remembers
playing the guitar in the subway.
the girl playing the guitar on the Angels Flight stairs, and she's just like in plain clothes, and she's smiling, holding the guitar, and they're telling people, "Come join LAPD," because whatever the catch line was or anything like that. And that, and then I looked at that and I go, "You've got to be kidding me! You guys are bleeding out cops, and you put up this stupidity for recruitment."
You're not going to get any hard charges with that poster.
No. So since then, so here we are in 2023, they're losing officers. Like I say, they're going to be down to 9,000. To lose 1,000 officers in a few years, you got to be doing something wrong. So what do they do in 2023? They decide, let's up diversity hiring. And now they are having classes that are below 30. They need 60 per class. They're below 30 in the 20s. And what do? Let's do diversity hiring. Like, yeah. You people are stupid as rocks, man.
That danger, but the equity word. It's like equity is, equality is good. Equity means equity of outcome, which is communism, which is just, it just straight up, like, it doesn't matter your, what you got to offer. We're going to make it the same, which is not like how, I mean, all private businesses are merit-based. You do good, you get rewarded. They don't do that. That's a bad business model. You're going to get bad employees. And that's, so now that's what they're doing. They're like, they're really doubling down, tripling down.
And I talk to police officers all the time who are in the field with LAPD and the training officers and things like that. And the word that I'm getting is that these, some of these recruits that are coming out of the academy, they don't want to work. They don't want to, you know, it's too hard. You know, police work is hard. There was a story that the San Francisco Police Officers Association put a video out, I think it was the week before last, where the POA president, she goes on there and said they just lost an officer who quit, a recruit, after 4 days, because he said that it was really hard. He had to write reports, and he quit after 4 days. And so this is kind of the new thing. And now, there was a big news dump that I put out with a bunch of documents from the city and stuff like that. A bunch of us put it out on Instagram. Mayor Karen Bass, who's the new mayor of Los Angeles beginning in January. So to tell you who Karen Bass is, Karen Bass, when she was in Congress before she became a mayor, so she left Congress to become mayor of Los Angeles. She is the author of the George Floyd Policing Act. And Wonderful. Then she comes and brings that stuff to Los Angeles, and she just put a letter out to the police department. And one of the objectives for the police department, she says in this letter, is that diversity candidates are being DQ'd because of obstacles in the system. So let's find a way to remove the obstacles. There it is, number three down there. Remove the obstacles for diversity applicants who are failing in the hiring process. And what does that mean, Steve? They're not talking about, hey, this standards, diversity candidate. they failed their medical exam. No, that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about backgrounds. They're failing their backgrounds. So Karen Bass's fix for this is to take away the obstacles that are keeping these diversity candidates from getting hired. That's like Steve just said. So how do you fix that? What do you remove? Standards.
It's unbelievable. I mean, this has been going on though for a long time. I remember when I worked there, we worked with a gentleman named Roger, and he was Dorner's background investigator. And Dorner, throughout his very short LAPD career, I don't know if you guys remember, Dorner was the one that armed himself with a rifle, killed a couple police officers, went to battle, wrote a manifesto, went to battle against LAPD. He was wrong. They were racist. They did all this stuff to him. He was actually a Navy intelligence officer. He was a lieutenant in the Navy. Like, he was very intelligent, but if you talk to people that knew him, always thought people were after him. He always thought, like, the fix is in, they're after me. So anyways, this background investigator actually raised these flags up and said, I'm not so sure about this guy, but black male in the Navy, and he got pushed through. And I don't think Roger gave his blessing on that. He was the BI for it, because I did. I think they did come back to look at the background, and I don't think he had Roger's full blessing for that. But Roger's name made it into the manifesto on his kill list.
That's partially correct. So what happened was the background investigator was a guy named Dave.
Was it at least Nation guy that I'm thinking of?
I know I'll get it for you.
Okay.
The Dave did the background, and Dave submitted the background for DQ. Personnel decided, for whatever reason, I won't go into that, but for whatever reason, they decided to sew this guy's head back on, Dorner's head back on, and get him hired. So he gets hired and all that happened. He killed a police captain's daughter and her fiance, and a Riverside City police officer got killed. And he killed a San Bernardino County sheriff who was up in the Big Bear to capture him. So he killed a bunch of people. Where Roger comes in is Roger was working IA and was in either the rep or the investigator. You know, he was working IA, so he was the investigator on Dorner's case.
I'm not a good listener.
No, and so it was funny because the manifesto comes out and it has all these police officers' names and all these targets on this manifesto. Roger is on the manifesto.
So Roger, when I met him, he was a background guy. I just assumed he did his background. Okay.
He worked in backgrounds with us. So Roger calls me up one night when this is all going down. He goes, Ken, my name's on the manifesto. LAPD sending Metro to my house. And I said, wow, you need to call the boss and let them know that this is happening. So he was targeted, and they got the name and they sent Metro officers to his house to protect him and his family. That's his connection to it. But for sure, you are correct in that. I wish I could remember Dave's last name. Anyways, so Dave, the original background investigator, said, don't hire him. He's a bad apple and stuff. And the way LAPD works is the background investigators can get overruled by personnel.
Yeah.
If they want to hire somebody. And so that's how he got hired. And look what happened.
Yeah, seems like a lot of liability to overrule somebody just to get the numbers you want.
Well, the background investigators become experts in the backgrounds of whoever they're doing that case.
Right.
We become experts in their life. We know them. But Steve, how many times was some personnel analyst or LAPD on the waffling about, should we hire this guy? Should we not hire this guy? How many times did they come and ask you, so what do you think?
Yeah. Then they ask you the same question the next week. Do you still think that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
They don't. We're the experts in that candidate, and yet personnel and LAPD never ask us. But then LAPD will come and moan and groan, going, so is there any way you can change the background? So, because they really want to hire him. And we'd be like, no, I'm not putting my name on that background. The guy needs to be DQ'd. I'm not going to do it. And they would get all pissy, and they'd go talk to the lieutenant, would go talk to the chief, and whoever made phone calls. And we would be like, no. I'm not changing it for you.
Yeah, you told me when we were there, you're like, don't worry about it. You're not part of that crew. Stick to your guns because you don't want to put your name on it. Because it is, yeah. I mean, no one ever came to me and said, do this or else. But it was kind of like a, hey, did you put your eyes on that again? Type of thing. Like after you give a definitive answer and it was like, you know, it's uncomfortable. You're like, yeah, no, I'm just not cool with it. So, I mean, I had a celebrity's brother that wanted to be a fireman. And it was not a popular verdict that I came up with. And it was like, he had been on TV. He was part of a documentary. And it was like his lifelong dream. And I DQ'd him. And there was just so much in the background that I just was like, look at it. Look at it.
You're so awful, Steve.
Yeah.
To do that.
I know.
And so what going back to what we were originally saying is that if they couldn't get the background investigator to change their mind on paper, then personnel would just overrule it and go, yeah, let's hire him. I think the DQ, whatever. And they would hire them. But the background investigator's name, and that's when they went back on Dorner and found out that the background investigator DQ'd him, personnel overruled them.
Right.
And that's how it works.
Well, let them do it. They can do it. They can take the burden, right?
Yeah.
Ken, I know you got to go soon. Go ahead. Do you have another thought?
No, I wanted to bring up that, if you could bring up that graphic again, there is one thing that I want to bring up on that. This is from Mayor Bass's letter to LAPD. Item number two. So this was something that Mayor Bass wants LAPD IA to do. They want internal affairs to work with the federal DOJ to identify, discipline, and or terminate officers associated with right-wing domestic extremist organizations. So the people they want LAPD to work with is the DOJ, the same DOJ that said PTA parents are right-wing extremists.
So you can count Christians out then.
Yeah. And so it's, oh yeah, Christian people go to church. So these LAPD officers that they're targeting, what they don't say what the DOJ's criteria is to identify these right-wing extremists, police officers, to set them up to fire them. And why is it only right-wing extremists? Are there no left-wing extremists? Are there no police officers? Maybe they're part of Antifa or right. other groups. Why is it only right-wing?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So LAPD, the mayor's office, totally anti-police activist. Chief Moore, same thing. He's a knucklehead. He's just rolling over. So he recently got reappointed for the next 5 years. He says he's only going to stay 2 or 3 years, but they appointed him for 5 years. So how did he do that? The only way he was able to do that was to get to roll over to Mayor Bass's anti-police activist, you know, agenda. And one of the other things that along with this, I forgot to mention this, is that one of Mayor Bass's directives is she wants to hire more reform-minded police officers.
Ah.
So how do you identify a reform? What does that mean, Steve? What is a reform-minded police officer?
It's so funny to narrow your pool. So, I mean, most police officers are conservative. Most police officers. The police officers that are Democrats are centrist, which is basically like Nazi youth to the left. Like mm-hmm. the cops I know that are Democrats are like 90s Democrats. You know what I mean? They're basically conservative. Mm-hmm. They might have some different social views, but their politics and how they view police work is centrist, and it kind of translates to conservative. So who are they trying to get? Like blue-haired weirdo far left people that have no moral compass that worship Shiva in the dark? Like, who are they going to end? They won't be able to solve any problems.
How do they identify them? How do you recruit for reform-minded police officers? Is that, I mean, I can read between the lines.
Number one, we need a guitar. Number two, we need the subway. Number three, we need soft lighting. And we also need a black female lesbian. And we got it.
Is your hair blue?
Right.
I don't even know how you would reach out to people who meet that criteria. But so what they're trying to do is they're trying to weed out these bad right-wing police officers. They're trying to bring in reform-minded, you know, woke police officers. And there's not enough police officers. For one thing, reform-minded people don't translate into police officers, because otherwise you would have all kinds of organizations that are left-wing anti-police organizations. Hey, LAPD's hiring, man. Let's all join.
Right.
No.
They want it gone. They don't want to join.
Yeah. No. And so the two don't meet up. You're not going to get. So she's, I don't know what's wrong with her thinking that that's even a possibility. But what they're going to lose is they're going to lose seasoned officers, because there's so many people that are saying, I don't even want to do this anymore. This is just not fun. Their recruitment's not going to get any better because whoever's running recruitment at personnel, what a joke, man. What a joke. Oh, also, I got to leave in a couple minutes, but do you have the graphic for the meditation circles and all that?
Let me.
This is. Hold on. Hold on, guys. Hold on. Steve.
I got it.
Steve, guys aren't going to believe this. So check this out, you guys. Los Angeles launches unarmed policing alternative, including yoga, healing circles, and meditation.
Why not?
I can't believe this stuff is real. So they're going
to. It's a nightmare.
You know, there's a lot of drugs, drug addiction, mental illness, and criminals, crimes, hardcore murders and violent assaults on Skid Row. And so what we're going to do, we're going to send these people out here and go, come over here. Come join our healing circle. Come, let's meditate.
Hey, man, you're harshing my mellow. You need to chill out. Here, hold my gun. Feel the power.
Oh, my gosh. Good for you, Alex. Alex, Alex, you dodged a bullet on that, man.
Yeah.
This is exactly, yeah. Good for you, Alex, man. I'm starting to tear up here over Alex's statement that he got. Yeah.
Look at Ken. He went to the Pacific Northwest. He's wearing a flannel now. He's got a big beard. He's even, I didn't think he could get more conservative, but it happened.
Yeah.
Ken, you have like 5 minutes before your event here. Quick take, hot take on the LA County Sheriff going after the gang. So I saw this at first, and I got a little taste of it, LA backgrounds, where I would see like certain divisions, and LA has like 15 or 20, there's a ton of them, but certain divisions would have like, you know, you had like the gunslinger with the skull, and it was kind of like a camaraderie thing. Like you had, you know, you're at the 77 and this is their mascot and you have it tattooed on you. But the article I read, and it was from a female that went there, and I don't know her integrity at all, but the article I read was like an in-depth and with a lot of detail, like the darker side of what LA County was doing with these groups. Like she's alleging, and some other people are alleging, that they were running the substations. They were the cool kids, let's say. And even to the point where like some females were told, like, you know, most new females go down on their training officers. Stuff like that is like, is what she's saying. Have you heard anything, any truth to that, where it was like there is indeed like LA County sheriffs looking to use their baton to get a certain tattoo or shoot somebody? Or is it any truth to that?
That's the stupidest thing. Cause you know, cops talk, and I was around police officers for a long time, and the sheriffs are the crosstown rivals. If there's some kind of stupidity going on like that, I saw a video where this young lady was testifying somewhere about the LA County, gangs. Deputy gangs.
Yeah.
And she said that she said, man, I almost spit up my drink. She said that in one of the initiations to get into the gang is they have to shoot and kill somebody. And I knew right then, I'm going, you're about as dumb as a rock, because that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
But this thing with gangs and all that, one of the things that this new sheriff, he's an idiot. This guy Luna, who's the new sheriff, he just started a new office called the Office of Constitutional Policing or something like that. And he appointed this attorney, but this whole office, the only goal of this office, the only reason they exist, is to rid the department, LASD, of these deputy gangs, because they're out there murdering people all the time. And I'm like, God, you guys, hey, I gotta run. But
I want you to work on your downward dog yoga pose if you want to
make people
a real cop.
Miranda for the win. And yeah, so I got to go. Are you going to hang in here, Steve, and talk to your peeps?
Yeah, I'm going to do the outro. Ken, policebackground.net, the Police Applicant Podcast. I implore all of you. It's one of the only podcasts that I listen to regularly. It's a great It's a great show, and he has great guests, great conversation. It's not just a lot of great conversation kind of comes off of the applicant process, because you hear stories from people's lives. You hear how hard people try to make it. You hear what disqualifies people. It's just a fascinating podcast. I'd say everybody should go check it out if you're a fan of this show. So, Ken,
thank you
for coming on, sir. And we're going to do it again soon.
All right. Talk to you guys later. Thanks a lot, everybody.
All right, brother. Have fun.
Thanks.
Guys, thank you for joining us for our returning cops in the news. I plan on doing it. The idea is I'm going to do it. I'm going to try to do it twice a month. I'm going to still have the four interviews monthly, of course. And I want to do rotate Ken in there, but also I'm going to bring guests back that you guys liked and have them comment on some of these stories to see what their ideas are, what their thoughts are, to get you guys to know them a little bit better. So that's kind of the plan for the show as of now. If you love the show, please, if you haven't done it, go to Apple iTunes and give it a 5-star review. It's hugely helpful. We're at like 850 something, I think. But if we could get to 1,000, that would be amazing. That would really help the show. I'd love to get to 1,000 with the big boys. I really deserve it. The show's great. I'm great. So come on, help me out. Very modest. And also, if you want to be a member, if you want to be a guest on the show, go to thingspolicy.com and scroll down, click be a guest. Love to have you. Brief description, reach out, and we'll schedule to come on. And if you really, really love the show, you can go to Patreon, become a patrolman or a sergeant under the TPS umbrella, and you will get videos for all the interviews, a vinyl sticker I'll mail to you, and direct access to me. Come on, it's like a dream come true. So, guys, thank you for being here. Thank you for joining me once again, and I'll see you next time.